Hey everybody, Andrew here with Hey Kids Comics. Cole is out this week at AllCon. If you are in the DFW area and you want to have a great time and really a intimate environment, go out to AllCon. It's inexpensive, it's fun. There's hours and hours of interactive entertainment, games. Cole's doing all the games, but there are panels. Friends of the show are doing things. SCNS is doing things. Starman Morrison's doing things. So go out and see them. But all that being said, the show must go on. So we invited the brilliant and funny Jason Old Hollywood Adams onto the show. And the reason I'm dropping this on the top is we're going to cut in right in the middle of our warm-up because there was a lot there. It was too good to cut. It was super funny. Made me laugh. Hope it makes you guys laugh. Without further ado, we're going to join our Hey Kids Comics in the middle of its regularly scheduled programming. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
Inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City, it's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Dragon Ball Z EX or Dragon Ball Z, where they took the original Dragon Ball Z show and then remastered and cut out the crap where they were waiting for the manga to get written, so there would be like four episodes that were it was just like, I hope something happens, and then and it's like instead of being 300, it's like 110 episodes. I'm like, I could probably get behind that just to see what's going on, like, but like I'm like, because they were just like, and then Goku's this, and then this happens, and then his brother Broly comes, but then there's this alien race and this space Hitler and Vegeta, but Vegeta's okay because they're from the same. And I'm just like, I have no idea. Is this what I sound like to other people? Because I'm sorry, I apologize.
No. I mean, I know where you're at with that. And I have seen, big portions of the show. I really have. Like, the Majin Buu arc and all that. So
What?
exactly. So as someone who has invested some time into it, you're not missing much. You're not. I mean, come on. It's just a show. It's not a big deal. I feel like people when they are young force themselves to like it because they were supposed to, because they were told to by whatever marketing or demographic,
Whatever.
they were being targeted. And because of that, it put itself into the classics, and now that's sort of passed on. It's the same reason why Nathaniel Hawthorne, his novel The Scarlet Letter became a classic, and why that and like required reading is just from the bullshit of popularity and marketing and targeting demographics and all that. There's no reason that novel should ever be considered a classic or noteworthy in any way. It's dumb. It's bad.
Hashtag brave stance. Jason's taking a brave stance.
I'm just saying, look, just to summarize, Dragon Ball Z is the scarlet letter of anime.
Okay, I'm leaving that in the show. That rant stays at the top of the show. I'm not cutting that out. That has to stay. I'm not allowing it to go anywhere. It's perfect. As a rebuttal to everyone who's been trying to get me to watch Dragon Ball Z since I was
Right. Don't let them in. Don't let them in.
Tears for fears, that ass. Don't let them in. All right, you ready to let's just do it. It's fine.
Yeah, get into it. So, all right. You're talking about
Hold, let me announce the show.
Hey guys, welcome to Hey Kids Comics episode 323. This is Jason, and with me as always is Andrew.
Is good.
What episode is this? How long
This
have
is
you?
episode 2, I believe it's 209.
Oh, weak.
Weeks, week, week. Let me check that. Okay, so for the record, Cole is at AllCon right now, doing the thing. Couldn't be there this year, so Jason asked me to come on this show, and talk. So I'm really excited about that. Jason, that was an awesome intro. I think you're jockeying for my spot here, and I'm honestly thinking about stepping down and just letting you take it. That was, I'm sorry, 219, not 209, 219.
219. See, you're hardly qualified for this.
I am not qualified. Yeah, we are tentatively titling this issue of Hey Kids Comics Hot Takes. There's a lot. I don't get the chance. So listen, okay, everybody at AllCon, I love you, but you can kiss my ass because this show is going to be awesome. This is going to be amazing.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
If the top of the show is any indication, the show's going to be off the rails. Jason, what do you have over there? You said you have something.
I have a fiance who brought me wine.
Oh, that's awesome.
She got off work and brought me wine. She heard I was doing a podcast, so she's like, oh, I better bring him some wine.
Is she there?
She just walked in, and she's literally pouring me. Can you hear it?
I can hear it. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. That's podcast dynamite right there.
it's going down. Meet me in the club. Yeah, so we don't get a chance to talk. You heard me say last week that Jason and I went to Logan together as a couple. Get over it. mine was there that time. So yours can bring you wine. Hi, Brianna, by the way. It's lovely to not see you.
I don't think she can hear you. I got headphones on.
Okay.
She's nodding her head no.
No, she's just saying to everything. It's not to that. It's to everything. I feel bad for her only hearing what you say tonight. That's her perception of reality is going to be so skewed after the next hour.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the prices at Bella's, honestly, compared to Bass Pro Shops,
hot takes.
It's sick. It's sickening.
In the positive or the negative, like, are they overpriced, do you feel?
No, way underpriced. I mean, I go on Amazon, and yeah, they are, like, probably 50% the price of what you get at Cabela's or Bass Pro, but there's something about being surrounded by a bunch of rednecks that really enhance the experience. I am willing to pay a premium for that.
For Bass Pro Shops premium for that? For me, it's the taxidermied animals everywhere. That's what gets me. That I love going into a Bass Pro Shop and looking at a $300 Yeti cooler while a endangered polar bear stares me in the eyes from across the room, never breaking his longing gaze.
What's the latest in archery technology this season? And those are the types of things I think about before I come onto your comic book podcast.
We miss Jason. So again, if you're at AllCon, kiss my ass because you don't have Jason and I do. Funny story about AllCon though, before we get started, I had called Cole. If you were at AllCon, you know this. I called Cole earlier today to wish him luck, and he was in his last 5 minutes of his first panel and just put me on. I had nothing prepared. It was Riffy McRifferton trying to save 5 minutes. Just a soft Fallon 5 minutes of me just waka waka all over the place. So
see, you gotta have a solid 10, a backup 5, and a soft 20.
Like a real soft 20. Like a Greek yogurt 20. It's not
like a Willem Dafoe neck 20 minutes.
Listen, I go for the tumescent 15, where you think you really think that it's going to end strong with some rigidity. It just lays there flaccid, like almost just kind of even bouncing a little bit. Just gross. So
it's going to be a 2-hour episode.
It really is
nothing
nonstop. So yeah, we went and saw Logan. We did an entire show. The last show we did was all Logan. All Logan. Yeah. I wanted to get your take on on that before we go any further. We actually do have a sort of a topic tonight, but I wanted to get Jason's take on Logan since he sat next to me laughing inappropriately at various parts. It's, I'll say this before you get started. I've now seen two movies in the last 2 weeks that I have left and haven't really talked about. Usually, like, if Jason and I leave a movie, we went and saw John Wick 2, and we, for 3 days, we talked about it. Even if we weren't together, we were talking to each other about it. It was pretty amazing. I don't think we really talked about Logan. We just kind of left the theater, like, in a Tom Waits kind of miasma. So, the other one, by the way, is Get Out. If you haven't seen Get Out, holy shit. Go see Get Out. Like,
I don't even think I know what that's about.
you don't need to know. Just find tickets and go see it. And then call me afterwards. But yeah, so Logan, what were your thoughts? What's your take on this?
Well, I went in pretty excited. Every Wolverine movie on paper looked spectacular,
Right.
right? And for some reason, it endured over the years, even though they were maybe critical flops or commercial flops or whatever. For some reason, I'm always willing to give more money to Wolverine. I don't know why. I mean, he went to Japan. I thought that was okay. I saw it in 3D. I thought it was okay. Origins was just so terrible. But I don't know. It always brings me back. So when I was going into Logan, I was already willing to accept that I liked it. But then it became like a Trigun Western opera.
Right.
Like everything about it was everything I want in a movie, which is Western. I just like Westerns. You're gonna have to help me with these character
That's
names.
fine.
The albino.
Caliban.
So when you're world building, especially for a Western, there is typically like these bit characters who will have an eye patch or a bandana. They call him the Mexican. He's a really good sniper. Or, they'll have some shtick. They don't dive into the backstory at all, and they leave it at that. And it's just sort of cool because it has a, forgive me for this, mystique to it.
Well done. You're on Agate's Comics. That's acceptable.
Whereas when a Western is made in this universe,
Right.
it's so believable, and you get it. It's like this guy's got to wear a poncho because he's albino. He has to wear those crazy steampunk welder glasses when he's outside because he's albino. He has to wear a big ass hat because he's albino. He's not a badass cowboy. He's a freaking mutant who has to deal with the repercussions of his abilities and in the same vein, disabilities.
Right.
Then you go on to. See, Westerns are all about a relationship, right? One relationship revolved and centered around the things about that relationship that make it not work. And every other tangential relationship is an explanation into how that character can change,
Right.
how that character can improve that relationship. And, Clint Eastwood said about Unforgiven that that was his definitive Western, and it followed almost the same arc. A woman in distress calling out for help through nefarious means. She called out a bounty.
Right.
And this sort of was a hero, no longer a hero, doesn't want to help the people who put him in this position, the denying of the call, basically. Seeing the good, seeing and being convinced to do the right thing by this person in need, even if that person is using methods that are otherwise bad to accomplish it, like kidnapping or trying to like subvert the government or whatever she was trying to do.
Blackmail, whatever it might be.
Blackmail. It all made sense, And so from looking at Logan as a Western, It's so good. It got everything right. But that's my perspective. I didn't really see it as a comic book movie.
It didn't need to be. That's the thing, is I think that's the important thing about this movie is we always, so when you look at comic book movies, they've evolved, I think, to a point where that becomes almost either secondary or tertiary to the idea that the movie now needs to be good. The movie needs to, the acting needs to be good. The script needs to be good. And then it can be a comic book movie. Whereas before, God love Wesley Snipes, and I will never speak ill of Blade in any way, but they weren't great movies. They were awesome and fun, but they weren't great movies. Now I think this is your shot across the bow saying, if you're gonna make this shit and you're gonna use these IPs and these licenses, you have to make good movies. You can't make the Fantastic Four anymore. You have to
Right.
make a and I was in the last issue when Cole and I were talking about it, I was making the point that the first half hour of this of Logan could have been a one act Arthur Miller play, because
Oh,
you
yeah.
had Caliban, in a like a weird moo-moo, like lounging around the house, literally talking to Logan, who was wearing like a wife beater and like a pair of jeans, like, "Girl, you can't get. I fold your underwear and I make you dinner, and you can't even talk about your alcoholism. You get out there and you help the old man. The old man needs you." Like, it's just like this whole, like, it could have been a Harold Pinter, like, one scene play up until the point where they go on their Sam Peckinpah National Lampoon's Vacation road trip, to the point where Cole was saying that, if this were a comedy, the bit would be taking Professor X and strapping him to the roof of the station wagon and driving him into see John Candy outside of the. But yeah, it works on so many different weird and awesome levels that I didn't know how to encapsulate it, because I'd never seen anything in a comic book movie to compare it to.
Exactly.
And it
I
was
think it's
awesome.
a game changer, personally.
It
Like,
has to be. It
it,
has to
yeah,
be.
you can't go back. It's it took an IP that went a very traditional route. It tried to do a few things different but the same, and by and large failed. But people still love Wolverine. Everybody loves Wolverine. I don't know why. It just is. And we were willing to give it this last chance. And, we were rewarded for that.
And I think that's what it was. I think it was them saying, "Okay, you give us one last shot. We're done after this." Like they said, Patrick Stewart and what's his name?
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, no, what's his actual name though?
Wolverine?
Oh, no, I was going for Huge Axeman,
Oh.
which is your joke. I was trying to set you up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You teed it up, and first of all, I want to correct you. One thing you were saying, you said God bless Wesley Snipes, and I just want to correct you. God blessed us with Wesley
It's
Snipes.
true. That's true. That's true. You think that I'm locked in here with you. You're locked in here with Wesley Snipes. I more than ever, we need another Blade movie with Wesley Snipes. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. You can literally listen, Wesley, if you're listening, and I know you are. Do another Blade movie and pass the torch to Michael B. Jordan or whoever you want to. Just give us one more. We're begging for one more.
Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith. Just if you're listening to this, anybody out there,
No, he's at the gym right now, just pumping. Like, he's just doing 200-pound bench presses right now, like, listening to this. Like, you know what? You're right. I never thought of ever doing another Blade movie before until these guys said something.
if you're listening, go on Twitter @ Wesley Snipes, #1 more Blade. That's just, I'm gonna get that started. We're gonna get that rolling. Hashtag one more blade. Let's get that together. Or yeah, okay. So that was Logan. I think that we've said we could do this another entire episode on Logan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whether it be the weird Blanche Devereaux accent of Pierce, where maybe he's from the Bayou. I'm not real sure if he's from the Arkansas-Texas border or from the deep bayou. He fell literally just that side of the fence of saying, "I do declare," like he was there. He was there. There was a point at which I expected him when he showed up at Eric. Oh, you have to tell that before we're done. But where he showed up at Eric LaSalle's house to be sitting on the porch, and Eric LaSalle come out of his house, him to be sitting in a like a porch swing, and tell Eric LaSalle that it was warm today, and it's gonna be warm. It was warm yesterday.
Someone's got the vapors.
It's gonna be warm tomorrow. So I tried to relay this on the last podcast and I failed. So I need your help to tell people what you told me was the only reason that Eric LaSalle got cast in that role.
Oh. So, the gang rolls in, the outlaws, and they are like, "Yo, don't cut that fence. We're gonna kill you." Just threatening them, whatever. And he's trying to defuse the situation, but he's got Logan behind him, and Logan's just like, basically calling them out on their shit. Like, "Yeah, we're gonna fight you." And the only reason he was cast in this role was for the very next take, the look that he gave Logan at that moment was like, "Oh shit, I don't want to be in this situation, but I get you." I mean, I get it, and I'm like, I got your back, but like, this is messed up. And it was that look. I mean, it's hard to describe, but once you see it, you totally get it.
It's that whole, you walked into a situation that you have no bearing. You have no bearing. You're alone in the woods without a lighter, and you're gonna start this shit? Like, I guess this is happening. This is happening now.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You gotta throw down. You gotta throw down. I mean, that's the face. It's like, I don't want to, but you got to.
It was like confusion meets relief because this has been happening for so long that he finally has somebody to have his back, but he's just met this weirdo that showed up out of nowhere, working on this water pump, takes his shirt off, and he's just riddled. He's like a 60-year-old man that's just riddled with scars.
And actual bullet holes that are still bleeding, I think,
Yeah, he has Joker back real hard,
and
and this guy's stepping up, like, let's and then he shows him and he's like, okay, but that look, you're absolutely right, that look that Eric LaSalle gives him, like, enough to turn his back on the
yeah, on the
posse of
threat.
rednecks.
You don't turn your back on the threat. That's like blade rule number one.
I mean, have you not seen a Blade movie? There's
Have you
two.
not seen a Blade movie? It was targeted for urban audiences, Eric.
There are two rules to a Blade movie. Number one is you don't turn your back on the threat, and number two is motherfuckers always be ice skating uphill. Those are the two rules to every Blade movie. And if you can't, I'm sorry, there was a third one too, which is if given the opportunity. Now this is sort of an Occam's razor of the Blade franchise. Given the opportunity, all variables being equal, in a vacuum, always bet on black. That is the third rule of the Blade movies. Oh my god, yeah. If you haven't seen Logan, go see Logan. We've already told you last issue that stop listening. I'm not giving you that warning anymore to stop listening before you go see it. It's on you if you haven't. All right. So the real impetus of the show, and I think it all dovetails nicely because Jason added a few of his own show notes to this one, and there was a point that I wanted to get to that I didn't have a chance, and the hive mind beat me to it. So I have a before we get into this, another non sequitur question for you, a tangential
Sure.
question that I was actually talking to Lacey about earlier. So you know Freaks and Geeks, right?
I know Freaks and Geeks, yes.
All right, so out of Freaks and Geeks came, God, how many big Hollywood writers and producers and
Oh
stars and
man,
directors now?
that wasn't that Apatow's first project?
That was Apatow's first project. It had what? Seth Rogen, James Franco.
Franco, it had what's his name? Marshall with Love guy.
Jason
Jason
Segel
Segel.
or Seagal, if you're nasty. It had the guy who plays the psychotherapist in Bones that I can't remember his name, but he was in it. Like everybody
Bones?
was. Yeah, what's that?
Bone?
Bones. I wonder. So all those people were in it. Now, my question for you, and this comes from a place of mutual love for us, and I probably for the entire audience, we don't really usually talk about this, but are we going to look at Community the same way we look at Freaks and Geeks? Because what we're seeing is the stars of Community coming out and becoming so much more than they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, Dan Harmon from Jump Street, my podcasting idol, Dan Harmon. God knows what he's. I can't even begin to
Yeah,
list.
he's building an empire.
Right, he has built an empire. On the
Yeah.
bones of Chevy Chase, he's built an empire. But then you've got Donald Glover, who
Oh my God. Oh
can't
my God.
how he's
You
Lando
can't
Calrissian. He was
stop him.
no,
He's Simba.
he's Simba. He's Lando Calrissian. He has literally made the best album I've ever heard in my life as
Yeah,
Childish
that
Gambino.
first song in his last album
Holy
is it's
Jesus.
lit.
Well,
It's lit.
the first scene, if it gives you any of it's lit, the first scene in Get Out, the very first scene, it opens on the couple and in the background Redbone's playing. And I'm like, "Oh shit. Okay, this is it. This is real now. I'm in immediately."
Have you seen Atlanta yet? Have you
I
seen
haven't
Atlanta?
seen Atlanta yet, but
Okay.
what hasn't he done?
There's very little he hasn't done so far since Community, but Atlanta, I'm telling you, dude, oh my God, it is so good.
It's on the list. It's on the
Yeah,
list.
put it on your list.
And then you got Danny Pudi, which is why I came to this point, who is writing and directing and acting and more and just unstoppably hilarious. Just amazingly funny in his own right. If you haven't seen, and we're going to talk about it in a second, but if you haven't seen Powerless, there's a decent chance that it could be the funniest sitcom on TV right now because Undateable's not on.
Yeah. Although it does have Ron Funches in it.
It has Ron Funches, it has Danny Pudi, it has
What's her
Alan
face?
Tudyk,
Yeah.
it has Selena.
I was surprised that he was in there. Like, you think the show would be doing better than what it is, you know, as
It's
far as ratings.
in a death time slot though.
Yeah, it's a sitcom on NBC that it's doomed to failure.
Right, it's like a sci-fi show on Fox. They just can't keep it alive.
Right, even though it's the best thing ever
Oh
that
my
Fox
God.
ever did. And NBC always has the best sitcoms,
Yeah.
and they just don't know how to handle it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's super creative and it's super. But my question for you is, with all of this, is that the incubator? Is Community the incubator for the future? I mean, even Joel McHale, he was a pretty big star when he came into Community, but since Community, he has blown up. Like, is this the thing that launches, is Community the next incubator? Obviously, Dan Harmon is the next incubator. If you look at stuff like Rick and Morty, if you look at,
Right.
any of
Harmon
the
Quest. Gotta get that Harmon Quest.
Harmon Quest, just pretty sure he had a lot more to do with CISO than he's letting on.
Yeah.
Like, I anything, everything. So, in your opinion, is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, you look at other other examples, even just as recent as like The Office. I mean, The Office had Steve Carell's like beginning of his career is either directly before or during 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right.
You had Ed Helms. That was right after his Daily Show stint. What's his guy? The Hot Tub Time Machine guy.
Oh, God. They farmed
Frank,
out of
Frank
the Daily
Wilson.
Show hard.
I mean, it had so many people in there who really kind of...
Mindy Kaling started Mindy there. Kaling,
yeah, the girl who plays Amy Schmidt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of people
Jim,
on that show who...
The guy who I only know is Jim.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah, it's America's office romance sweetheart, right?
That ended up in that, what was it, Michael Bay movie? The 13 Hours Secret Soldiers
yeah,
of Benghazi? Yeah, weird casting,
yeah,
but...
Ripped.
Yeah, like, yeah. Super ripped!
Yeah, and you can see it, too. Like, he did, he was the exec producer of, that one celebrities lip sync battle thing.
Yeah.
Hosted by, I think Terry Crews hosted it.
It's amazing. It's an amazing show.
Yeah. No, it was Coolio.
Yeah.
No, it was what's his name? Oh man, Mama said knock you out, guy.
Yeah, LL Cool J. It was LL Cool J.
Not Coolio. LL Cool J. I miss the word cool in people's names.
Why can't we go back to that? Hashtag one more blade, one more cool blade. LL Cool Blade.
Yeah, make that movie.
Make that a thing that happens.
I mean, I'll reel it back in with this, but I will say, like, when you look at a show that is so good that everyone's so behind it that they force a network to continue the show despite ratings, despite whatever, right?
Right.
They say, look, I know it looked bad that season or whatever, this or that, and we'll make some contentions on this and that, but please let us keep doing the show. Those people who are that passionate and start building that network go on to make really great things. It's just a really good, it's ripe for success, and I think Community was the next show to do that.
Right. And you know, we haven't even talked about Britta and Annie, who the actress who played Britta went on to make that movie with Mike Birbiglia. She's got a show on Netflix. She's huge.
Have you seen that Apatow show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, goddammit.
Yeah, it's all in its own
And to bring it full circle, the guy, the progenitor of the celebrity lip sync battle, the guy who created the concept and got it on TV. I know that Jim executive produced the show.
Krasinski. His name is something Krasinski.
Jim Krasinski.
John
the progenitor
John
for that.
Jim Schmidt.
Go pull up old episodes of Fallon. Put in celebrity lip sync. Do you know who was the progenitor for that? Who used to do it at parties and used to do it with these people and got the idea out there and got it made? Was the guy who played Caliban in Logan.
Oh, my God.
It's what? That guy who is a brilliant comedian. Like, that guy is funny as shit. And then he's playing Nathan Lane in The Birdcage in Logan. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Swinging back around to Danny Pudi and Powerless, the idea – let this be a little bit of a spoiler – working on a spinoff from Hey Kids Comics, and my mind got into, and Jason and I have workshopped this idea a little bit, but my mind got into what would our world look like if it had superpowered beings in it? So by that I mean literally from the time that your alarm clock goes off in the morning to the time that your alarm clock goes, the time you set it at night and your head hits the pillow. How does your world change in a universe in which you were born into a world that had superpower beings, mutants, aliens with powers, metahumans, whatever you want to call it, and you're going to die in that same world? So I started really thinking about that, and Jason put Powerless into the notes, which is brilliant because that's the world. It's like that's what a sitcom, that's what every TV show would be,
right?
In that world. So, Jason, I want to ask you, like, what are the most immediate changes that you can see in that world?
I mean, I got a few that I thought about.
Yeah, please.
I'll start with the heaviest first. Racism would be weird to like have around.
Sure,
Like
sure.
right now it's weird, right? It's weird that it exists at all, and it's just always been there, always throughout the entire course of human history. And if superpowers were to just all of a sudden come out, I don't know if racism could survive. What are your thoughts on
Oh,
that?
I think it survives. I think we're a
You think?
horrible race of people, and racism would still survive. I think we would be way more racist against superheroes of color, SOC, than we would against white superheroes. I absolutely think that's true. I think we would be looking at superhero pro and I'm not being I'm not this isn't tongue in cheek, I'm being dead serious. I think that if you just extrapolate where we are now, where we look at you look at sports, look at anything, right? I think that if we just explode that idea, I think we're going to be looking at, you know, the idea of white privilege on a super scale at that point. We, if you want proof of concept for this, look no further than actual comic books. Like what's in
Yeah.
the comic books. Is it getting better? Maybe. Is it being, I think the only way we can say it's getting better is that it's recognized more, but the pushback from that recognition is insane. Like
Yeah.
the even to the point where do you know what's going on with Captain America right now, Jason?
No idea whatsoever.
Okay, so there have been a storyline for about God, I don't know, a year, I guess a year now. A comic book writer by the name of Nick Spencer, who I actually really enjoy his work. I think he's doing brilliant shit. Kind of hit the reset button in comics, which happens every year now. But there was a storyline where Captain America died. Came back, went into a different, and he, when he was gone, he was in a different dimension. Came back, but came back aged. Like old Captain. Have you seen any of that? The old like Steve Rogers
No.
when he's old. So it's Captain America, but he's old.
No.
He's the age he quote unquote would have been. So like
Yeah.
75-year-old Captain America.
Right.
So what they did is, in order to get him back to, you know, youthful Captain America, they messed with the Cosmic Cube and did some things with the Super Soldier Serum. Cosmic Cube being the MacGuffin of the one of the MacGuffins of the Marvel Universe that allows you to just to you know the deus ex machina machina of the Marvel Universe. Sorry, I said machina. Yeah, so that's a goth industrial band I used to listen to in 1470s. And kind of hit the reset button. Well, they started. Well, Nick Spencer played with that and said it didn't just de-age him. It kind of allowed them to kind of rewrite his entire history, making him a Hydra sleeper agent that has been working for Hydra since he was like 12 years old. Like his mom was a Hydra agent, so they've been planning this forever. And now the whole next big event is him putting into motion all of these machinations that he's developed to take everybody down as like Captain America, as the most beloved superhero. But this guy's getting goddamn death threats for doing this. Like literal death threats for making Captain America like this Hydra, scion of Hydra. It's ridiculous. I don't think racism gets any better. I know that, and actually, I'm surprised at that kind of utopian Gene Roddenberry rosy outlook on your part. Not that you're like an asshole, but like,
Right.
but that's not this the take I think you I you would have. That's not the direction I think I thought you would take this. Like, that's, I'm proud of you for that, actually. In a weird way, I'm actually proud of you for thinking that racism goes away in a world with superheroes. That's cool.
Yeah, like I feel like an 8-year-old kid who wrote an essay, you know. If people had superpowers, racism would go away. But I
Think it
don't
would get
know. Like,
weird.
I guess my argument for it needing to go away from a practical standpoint is, you know, there's a new hate. Like, there's a new,
Okay.
like, you know, X-Men did that with the whole mutant registration thing, right?
Right,
Or,
right.
you know, what binds black people and white people together in America? Hating Muslims or Hispanic people. Like, you know, so there's a little darkness in my stance on it.
Right.
But I'm not saying it's getting rid of racism as much as I am saying that it would replace racism.
Okay. I'm with that. I'm with that.
Yeah.
I agree that racism gets weird. You know, it's like it's like you can hate bok choy, but if you go get the stir fry, there's gonna be water chestnuts in there too. So what do you hate more? And then if there's snow peas in there, you just at some point your hate gets so diffuse that it's ineffectual. That you
Right,
just
and
become Clint Eastwood.
it goes beyond seeing the world through like a Jeopardy clue. Like,
Right.
how can I get there with like three hints and just cut straight to the chase? What are we talking about here? Like, oh, this emperor destroyed over 10,000 armies, and it was really sad. The jade's on you. And it's like, oh, he was Chinese. Like, you know, like you gotta just, you know, spoon feed it to me. Like, what was he? Put my brain in that space, you know?
See,
And
when I'm thinking about this, like if I'm really thinking about how my day looks, like the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I check Twitter. Like I
see, I
jump.
think about racism
I
first
know
thing.
you do. That
Okay.
you constantly think about racism. You're really on the cusp of solving racism in the saddest way possible, which is only in you and not being able to spread it anywhere besides like you and me, and that's it. Like just screaming into the void that you've solved racism. We just need super people. First thing I do is check Twitter. So I started thinking about how what would my Twitter feed look like if superheroes were if people with, of you know if people with superpowers were real. And I follow a lot of podcasts and I follow a lot of stand-up comedians doing takes on whatever's going on. But then I started thinking, like, what about these people that we idolize right now? Like, what about like Kylie Jenner or
Gordon Ramsay.
okay, yeah, that's fine. What are they still famous?
Gordon Ramsay? I think so.
I mean, like in a world where you have Orgo, the Martian super chef, is Gordon Ramsay
Right.
still famous? Like, is it still interesting? Are people, are normals, are normcore people still interesting to pay attention to? Or do you just go straight to Diana of Thermascara's Instagram feed, and you know, and there's a picture of her with a Mai Tai and a bikini, and then a picture of her feet with a golden lasso on a beach, and then a picture of her like wrapping up cheetah in a steel beam. Like,
Right.
where does that leave those people? Where does that leave the when Lex Luthor exists? What's that guy's name? Martin Shrilicky, the guy who jacked up the price of the AIDS medicine.
Yeah, no, it was the EpiPen.
Yeah. Where does that leave that guy when Lex Luthor actually exists?
Right. Or it's like you know, the 2020 presidential elections is Bernie Sanders versus Red Skull.
Well, hot
And
takes.
I'm telling you right now, it's gonna happen.
Whether super villains exist in the world or not, that is what the 2020 election
Yeah,
is going to be.
like right now we're at threat level orange.
Damn it. Damn it, that's good. That's a small step. It's a really small
Yeah.
step.
It's there though. No, I get you, but like, answer me this. Do you follow, and don't be weird about it.
Okay, all
do
right.
You follow a bunch of college basketball players, or do you follow NBA players? And why? Aside from the marketing and all that, it's just that skill level. Like, you don't, yeah, so I can't imagine Elon Musk having more Twitter followers than Batman.
Right. Right. Well, but the...
Actually, is Elon Musk Batman?
Maybe.
I'm all of a sudden realizing a lot of things right now. He's trying to go to Mars.
He's
he wants to plug everyone's car into a plug-in for free.
Brother
forever.
Eye. Yeah, he wants to tie all the cars together with one satellite. And... Here's the thing about that, though. What you just said is, yes, Elon Musk has more...
is Batman.
Elon Musk has more Twitter followers than Batman, but they have the same amount of Twitter followers because they're the same person. But in reality, Elon Musk would have more Twitter followers than Batman, but not more Twitter followers than Bruce Wayne, and Batman would be pissed off about that. That's the awful part. But yeah, like, how did, like, okay, so that's my, like, morning. I get up, I check Twitter, I get ready for work, I leave for work, I drive to work. Does my drive to work change? I guess it depends. You know, was there a superhero fight in Dayton? It would be a sad superhero fight, but was there a superhero fight in Dayton? You know, do I have to give myself an extra half hour on either side of my drive now in case, you know, the Gym City Goblin is trying to rob the Mead building or something?
Right. What do they call it? Gym City.
My city.
Well, like, I kind of want to go beyond that.
Okay.
And go, like, abstract it even further to closer than that.
Okay.
You're saying you're hopping in a car and you're assuming that the car is well made and it works. But I put it on this list here, macroeconomics. The
right.
implications of having superheroes, I don't know what their superpower is going to be. If they can be like they can create materials from nothing, or they can duplicate items, or whatever. The economy of making cars, of baking bread, of doing anything,
right.
can now be handled by just a few superheroes. So that would absolutely devastate the economy. Yeah, where are you going? Your job? What's your job? Selling phones? You don't need to do that in this world.
Right.
Potentially, because you're probably going to be replaced by one of several dozen superheroes who have abilities that go beyond that. You know what I mean? So.
Well, and I think that that's another reason I wanted to explore this, is because when you read comics, no matter how dark the comic is, it could be Watchmen, it could be anything that Mark Millar's ever written, it could be, you know, Frank Miller all day long. In those comics, I still think it's a little naive and rosy and altruistic to think that these ultra-powered beings, and some of them probably would, to be honest, but to think that they just kind of keep to their own devices or within their own group of friends and never, you know, and I think the closest we get's maybe Tony Stark, maybe Bruce Wayne, where they're, you know, industrialists and they're inventing mm-hmm. things that would, you know, change technology. But to think that you've got like Quasar out there who could literally power, you know, if you look at in terms of comic books, if he existed in our world, mm-hmm. he could power the United States. No more. You
want
to talk about dirty fuel, clean fuel, you know, geothermals versus wind. No, it's done. It's done.
Right. Right. So from an electrician's standpoint, they'd be like, oh, God, we got to change the standards because now we're getting direct current versus alternating current because it's just a giant battery.
Right.
Powering the United States. There's no longer foreign dependence on oil. So now we're destabilizing the Middle East in that region.
Exactly.
And all these people are losing their money, and there's a lot of strife, a lot of looting, a lot of killing, and we got to go in and help them with our military. Well, what's the point of sending our military there if we have these superheroes? So now you get a group of family members of the military who are petitioning the federal government to force superheroes to fight instead of their human children.
Right.
And the superheroes are like, well, we're against war and we think that's wrong. And it's like, well, it's kind of your fault that we're in this war because you destabilized the region because you took over their entire economy by just powering from this one guy. And they're like, okay, well, that's a fair point. I guess now we're in a position where we're going to be a super villain to this region. And that's what I'm talking about, those macroeconomics. Like, nothing's ever simple. It would be a freaking nightmare.
But you know as well as I do that if that were to happen, if you were to have a world where the where we destabilize a region because we went completely, you know, unilaterally internal power, and like you said, that we want to send superheroes over to make sure that this, that, you know, don't send our people. There would be, and the superheroes came together and said, we're against war, we don't want to do it. There would be a small, you know, cadre, a subset of superhumans who are like, no, we want to go. We're the assholes that want to fight in a war and use our powers to do this, thus creating the most insane Cold War ever. Because we would have ours, you know, everybody would have their superhero army, which would consist of maybe four or five, you know, that would basically replace the entire nuclear arsenal in the world, just waiting for something to happen. So it would, yeah, you're absolutely right. It would destroy all economic systems. You know, what would we do? Would it become, in your opinion, would it become more Roddenberry? Would it become more, I don't want to say a communist, because that's not what it is, but would the need for any kind of monetary compensation go out the window at that point?
Right, where we just, oh man, that's, because you can't, it's hard to imagine an economy not based on a currency of some sort, you know, because
right.
Then everybody can just have everything, which, yeah, in a utopian world would be perfect, but that's so hard to imagine. You can't, and that's a sad thing. It goes back to that whole racism thing. It's not necessarily about race. Race is the facade, but it's class, you know. You're basically classifying people of color as being a lower class, right?
Right.
And so the excuse is, oh, well, we live in a capitalist society and currency is necessary, and, you know, you get paid for a job to contribute to the economy so that you can get money to contribute back to that same economy and fund more jobs and all that crap, right?
Right.
You take all that away, people are no longer productive, therefore they're no longer, quote, useful. Man, that's really hard to wrap my head around.
Well, but I think that takes us to the next iteration of this, right? The next kind of evolution of the society that we're talking about, which is when you remove that kind of self-identification and self-worth that you get, let's say, from having your job, working your 9-to-5,
mm-hmm,
giving back to the economy, coming back, buying material goods, spending time with your family, then, you know, going to bed, getting up, going to work, that routine that we've all been in for, what, 100 years now, probably, close
mm-hmm,
to that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
as a standard. And on the flip side of that same coin, you have Swamp Thing, who can make food for everyone. You have Quasar, who is the living battery for the entire, you know, United States. You have I don't know, Storm, who is out, you know, who can go out and use her mutant ability to, you know, if to solve drought.
So right.
You know, when does it stop being about self-identification and become a weird cult religion for these particular entities?
Right.
You know, that's an interesting thing. Is like, when do we start looking at, like, what, how far down the rabbit hole do you have to go? How many generations is it before hero worship sets in and religions and cults start forming around these people. I mean,
I feel that that would be almost inevitable. Really, the biggest thing that would change isn't necessarily the day-to-day. It's like on a deeper level. It's hard for me not to think about it on that level. Like, I want to think
bring
about,
it.
oh, instead of Coca-Cola being made of corn syrup, it's going to be made of, I don't know. Something else, some alien sugar, I don't know. And like I want to think like that, but it's really hard not to think about the bigger picture stuff, like these people becoming demigods and necessary for the sustainability of all of society. And the second they leave society, now, oh crap, we've been getting our food conjured by this particular person now that they're gone. We haven't been planting crops. Nobody knows how to do it. We're out of food. We're all going to die.
Right.
But then you got someone who can resurrect them. I don't
So,
know. Like,
okay, so let's climb the ladder out of the darkness.
yeah.
What are some fun things? Like, what are enjoyable things? What do you think would be,
All
let
right, all right. I got a game. This
okay.
is perfect for the game,
Okay.
okay? So, we're gonna go in turns.
Okay.
You know more about superheroes than I do.
Okay.
So here's how we're going to play it. You're going to say a superhero that I would know,
Okay.
right?
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what product they endorse, right? So what commercial they're in or what radio spot or whatever, right?
So the idea
And
is that, in this world, we're super,
yeah.
we've given up. LeBron James is no longer the Sprite guy. Because now you have the Martian Manhunter. Like,
Exactly.
so what's the point?
Right. Like, oh, you want to drink Sprite because Drake told you? Or because oh, what's it? Nightcrawler just like popped in and out of this Sprite vending machine telling you what's up, you know?
Okay, I like this. This is good.
And then the other person, I will say the product. You tell me which superhero or villain would be perfect to endorse it.
Okay. I'm good
You
with
got
this.
me?
Yep. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm not gonna go too outside of I'm not gonna test you. I'm gonna try not to test you. I'm gonna make it as, I'm gonna softball it as much as I can. So I'm gonna start with a personal favorite, John Constantine.
Oh, God. All right, give me a second here.
All right. I like this game. I wish I had music for it.
All right. Birchbox.
See
So,
that
yeah,
commercial in
let me
my
just
head.
I'm gonna play out the commercial real quick, and then
Okay.
you're gonna hear a
Yeah,
version. So
no, please.
it's completely black, it's all dark.
Okay.
And then you hear a k-k-k-t, and it says lighter, and you see light shining, and he's lighting a cigarette, and he blows on it, sucks it down, whatever. And light slowly fills the room, and he's wearing a really nice suit, really nice trench coat. And then the word Birchbox in bold white letters just across the thing, and then it cuts to the descriptive title card of how much it is per month, and that's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
What's your version of that?
Mine is similar to that, where, but in mine, you hear the lighter.
Yeah.
You start in a black room, and you fade to candlelight. So it's not brightly lit. You fade to candlelight in an old study. Think gentlemen's club, like
Sure.
circa Lion Hunters, like Alan Quartermain,
Like Dan Brown's wet dream.
like Dan Brown's wet dream. Right,
Yeah.
right. There's a box sitting on a table, and you hear the lighter. You hear it flip. You hear it, and all that happens is the box opens from the inside. There's no one in the room. A hand
Right.
pushes the box open, and Constantine just pulls himself out to the shoulders and just says, "Birchbox." That's That's what it is. That's
oh my god. Oh my god.
Brilliant.
All right. I'm going to give you a product.
Okay. All right.
You tell me which superhero or villain endorses it, okay?
I'm ready.
Oh god. I had one, but I'm going to pull it back cuz I think it's stupid.
Oh, come on. All
right, I'm going to go for it.
Make it good.
Gibson guitars.
Gibson guitars. All right.
Yeah.
Dr. Doom. Okay, hear me out.
In full garb?
We open up in Castle Doom in Latveria. And it's Doom sitting on his throne, full regalia.
Right?
And he says, I've conquered nations. I've enslaved people. I've built an army of androids that look exactly like me.
Doombots.
But my greatest achievement. And he gets up and he starts walking through his halls, and the whole time you're following him.
Like
that single shot, right? As he's walking and we're going room to room,
right.
And you're seeing him pass through. And he walks into a room. And he's in a room full of Gibson guitars. giant pit. Like fire pit. Like cast iron fire pit in the middle of the room, and it's just a circular room full of Gibson guitars on the walls and on stands. And he walks over and grabs one.
Dante's Ring of Fire.
He goes and grabs one. And there's a tapestry on the wall of Doom, of course.
Seven Licks of Hell. Sorry.
So, thank you. Of Doom on the wall. And he's taking the guitar, and he's saying this the whole time, you've conquered, I've built and enslaved and grew my people, but my greatest achievement, and he pulls down the tapestry, and it's just like five Marshall full stacks stacked on top of each other, just jacks in, is this, and this fire comes out from behind him, and lightning and demons rising up, and it just flashes to Gibson, it's like Gibson guitars, and that's it, that's my commercial.
Yeah, I mean, it writes itself.
It really does. All right. Here's another one.
Oh, more wine.
I can hear it.
Sorry.
War Machine.
Oh, God. War Machine. All right. Okay. It's got to be something good. Oh man, I feel it.
It's right there. Let's reach out and grab it. Abracadabra.
Right. I'm gonna say ExxonMobil.
Shit. Okay.
And it's just gonna be like an ironic billboard, and it's gonna have the words ExxonMobil, and then the words War Machine, and then just a silhouette of War Machine, with like the sunset behind him, and then his eyes are glowing. It's like full circle.
I like it. I don't know if everybody would get it, but I know we would.
On a full tank of freedom.
I fought a full tank of freedom. That's good.
All right. I'm going to give you a product here.
Okay.
Altoids.
Venom.
Oh my god.
Venom.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Venom.
So, explain Venom to me. Like, is it a suit that is alive, or is there someone inside?
Okay, so, Secret Wars, The Beyonder. Spider-Man was in there. The whole idea, I'm not going to explain it all. There was an alien being who kind of kumite'd a bunch of heroes and villains off onto their own, like, world, their own different multiverse Earth to fight it out and see who was the best. Well, in that battle, Spider-Man ripped his costume and needed a new one. Well, it just so happened at Hero HQ, there was an alien box that could make anything your heart desired. So he made a new suit. That suit was black.
It's like a monkey's paw, basically.
Yes. He didn't know at that time that the suit that it made him was an alien symbiote that bonded with him and made Topher Grace dance and sing.
I think you're thinking of Elijah Wood.
I'm actually thinking of Eddie Munoz. God, thank you. Thank you for just getting there with me. Thank you for achieving that moment. I feel like we could hang up this podcast right now, and I would be happy.
I think you're thinking of the young Steve Buscemi.
So the symbiote suit, Spider-Man managed to get rid of it because it was making him evil. It jumped to his frenemy, Eddie Brock, who was the school jock. And thus Venom was born as one of his nemeses. I'm trying to think of the print ad, because it's going to be like a Got Milk, right? So it's Venom with Altoids, and I really just wanted to say wish you would, but I don't know if that works.
I know their slogan is Curiously Strong,
right? I think it's Furiously,
like,
Strong.
His tongue is like super long and wrapped around it, and he like wraps around like more than one, but it's like too powerful, so he only needs one, sort of thing.
Right. Maybe Furiously Strong. Maybe too Furiously Strong. If you can't handle Altoids at their fastest, you don't deserve Altoids at their furiousest.
Right. I agree with that. Also, Tokyo Drift.
Also, just for the record, Tokyo Drift. I think Furiously Strong is good. I like that. There you go. I just imagine a really good print ad with Venom.
Yeah.
Okay. Hero, for you. No, God damn it. Okay. Daredevil.
The obvious one is Ray-Ban.
Obviously.
But I'm not going to go there.
Okay. I'm
not going to go there. Yeah. All right. I'm thinking food here. I'm thinking restaurant. What restaurant Daredevil eat at? What has... Oh, no. I take it all back. So, what's Daredevil's best power is that he has heightened senses.
Correct.
Right? And as such, he has hyper sensitivity to touch, with hearing, and with taste. In fact, his taste is so powerful that he can distinguish all 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper.
He's just sitting there listening to them, just sitting in a... Like a chair, like a high back leather chair.
It's built in because he's the same color as the Dr. Pepper can. And here's the sad part. He doesn't know it.
Listen, that's sad. But the other part, the greatest part of this commercial is at the end, right? It's just him listing flavors. And then at the end, he just... He's just sitting in the chair, and he just listens.
I'm going to put you to task. Name all 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper.
Suffering. Star Anise. Rebecca De Mornay. I don't.
Curry.
What?
Curry.
Chinese curry. Five Spice. No, but the end of... Hold on, because the end of the commercial, I can see it in my head. He's just sitting there, like one leg over the other, listing 23 flavors. And at the end, he just looks past the camera, because he's not going to look at it. And just... So you got a shot of him from about just below the waist to... You pull in tight to just below the waist to just below the neck. And... I know you don't get this from the show, but from the comic book character itself, I'm imagining it's comically accurate. He just holds up a little R. 'Cause I'm explaining the joke. Fuck it, because he's got the big D on his chest. He just holds up the little R, and that's the end of the commercial.
So instead of using the D like insignia on his chest, you went full dick.
Full dick.
Instead of using, he has not one, but two D's probably embroidered on his chest
Wait,
somewhere.
he's got D's, motherfucker, D's?
All he would have to do is an upside down peace sign on the bottom D to make an R. That's all he had to do. But no, he's got a sign. Even though he's blind, he knows sign language.
My world, all right.
He's signing an R under his
He
dick.
could
Okay.
sign it. Yeah, he could sign an R.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I really want a Dr. Pepper just hearing that.
I know, right?
Yeah. 20 flavors.
Ninja blood, that's in there. If it's Daredevil's Dr. Pepper. All right, we're gonna do one more. Are you ready?
Yes.
All
Wait, that
right.
was mine. I gotta give you
Oh,
one.
that was. Oh yeah. No, okay. We'll do one more, and that's it. We're gonna end
So,
this.
that'll be the last round here. I'm gonna give you product. Let's see. I want it to be something so good.
All right.
All right, I'm thinking. Thinking technology here.
All right, here we go. It's Hewlett Packard.
Okay. No.
Oh.
It's gotta be something like sort of arbitrary, but sort of makes sense.
Gateway computers.
I don't wanna put myself in that box. I'm not gonna put myself in that box. What am I doing? Just something fun. Something fun. Bic. Bic pens. Yeah.
Bic pens.
Yep. The ones that you get like free everywhere with like the
Right.
cat. Yeah. Bic pens.
Are you familiar with Booster Gold?
I have no idea who that
Okay,
is.
so we're gonna go away from Booster Gold, but all my comic fans out there know they're laughing right now already
All
at
right.
the thought of
All
Booster
right.
Gold. All right. Bic pens, as presented by Namor. Aquaman, just to make it easier, Aquaman presenting Bic pens.
Is Namor another name for Aquaman?
Namor is Marvel's Aquaman, essentially.
Is
So,
it? Does he have like a black ponytail and like a hook for a hand?
that would be awesome, but no, he did at one point run a business, and he has little wings on his feet.
Was it a burgeoning pen business?
It wasn't, but I'm thinking Aquaman just because they don't work underwater. And I think
Right?
that's funny. I think that's funny. I think extrapolating on the idea that the pins don't work, Aquaman is the only person who doesn't enjoy a Bic pin. And he's just so mad about it. Just fuck this pin. Like, I think that's where it's at. I think that's the
What if it
winner.
was like a special, like waterproof pen, and like he's struggling with a normal pen, so he like calls an octopus over, and it like squirts ink on him, and that's how he figures it out. And then Bic is like, "Oh, here's a waterproof pen." And yeah.
Why is Aquaman Burgess Meredith? Wah, wah, wah. Oh my God. All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts, like any rounded outs on the idea of superheroes in modern life, in our lives? Because I think this is giving me some fodder for the side project I'm thinking about doing, so.
Right. Well, honestly, to a dog or a hamster, we already have superpowers, right?
God
It's a
damn
matter of perspective.
it. Sure.
Usain Bolt is basically the Flash, but like catatonic Flash. You know what I mean? Like there's varying degrees of having superpowers, and who's to say that the brightest minds or the most physically endowed of our human species doesn't already have some degree of superpower, right?
Right.
And because of them, the world has changed, you know. Steve Jobs, right? iPhone, right? Michael Phelps can swim really great, and he's done, you know, wonders for the marijuana legalization community. So I don't know. I feel like it all comes down to, are you using the talent to perform a function to make a change, or are you using the talent within a space, within a realm, within an agreed upon event or a thing to gain attention so that you grab people's ear and push an agenda, right?
Right.
So it's not necessarily that if someone had invisibility, they could, you know, do nefarious things or do really great things. Maybe they're just like showing it off at Cirque du Soleil, and because of that, they have a stage to talk about how they feel about animal rights.
Perfect. It's perfect. I can't.
I don't know.
I can't sum it up any better than that. All right. So, yeah, this has been Hey Kids Comics. You probably found us on the JediColeUniverse.com or on iTunes. If you did find us on iTunes, rate us and review us. We would really appreciate it. That's how other people find this weirdness. And we love doing it. We love doing it for you guys. So keep it up. Keep listening. Keep sending suggestions. Don't forget to send us your Yahoo answers. We're getting another one of those shows together. It's going to be great. Cole is at OwlCon right now. If you're there, go find him. Thank him. Punch him in the face. Do whatever you got to do. It's a great show. I wish I was there. Maybe next year. Follow us on Twitter, HK Comics Show on Twitter. Facebook, of course. You can find all the Jedi Cole Universe shows there. There's some great stuff coming. Don't forget the live Rantcore pits as well as the recorded Rantcore pits. And with all that being said, I'm changing it. Jason, you've read Watchmen, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long time ago.
I'm changing my Bic answer.
I'm
changing it to Rorschach. Just dog bleeding too... and gutter.
Yeah.
Man punches wife in face for not having potatoes done properly. Darkness precedes death, precedes life.
Just... Does he write down the clues he finds?
Yeah, in a notebook, and I'm imagining he does it with a Bic pen.
Well, because otherwise you could just form your face to the word you want and then just slam your face on the notebook.
Oh, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've had a great evening with as much fun as we have recording this. I hope you had as much fun listening to it. And join us next week. We're hoping, and Jason, I will ask you this now. What are you doing on the 2nd of April? It's a Sunday.
2nd of April, I don't think I'm doing anything. I know Indie Comic Con is coming up.
Well,
going to that.
Gem City is the 2nd.
Oh.
So if you want to make a second annual appearance at Gem City, I have actually been asked by some of the fans of Hey Kids Comics to record a podcast. So
nice.
We will be trying to get a live one together on that day with special guest Jason, if we'll have us, and
sure.
The indomitable Kelly Sutra, a longtime guest on the show as well. So that hopefully will come together. All right. Say goodnight, Jason.
Good night, Jason.
And I'll say it. Good night, Jason. Join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics.